all of my heart, give him my all. blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, God. Come, let us magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed. Come and magnify the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Oh, come, let us magnify the Lord. For He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Our Lord, for He
set my feet on a place to stay. He's allowed me to remain. You know, my husband was talking this weekend how when I first came in, Brother Tucker began to tell all the things you had to take off to become what we needed to be. And I was so in a hurry, I wanted it done now. Not after a while, now, right now. And I was, when he was up there standing, I turned around to somebody and I said, oh, you shouldn't tell me. I'm still looking around here for the now. For the now, that's bad. But I praise him that he allowed me to stay. What if he allowed me to walk into this glorious place and look around at this place and see nothing? Just be a blind, going out the door as the world's coming in the door. When you think about the number of people that have come through this place, sometimes I sit and I think and think about the number of people that sat in these pews, the number of people that we've met, that have heard these glorious truths. And some even, I thought, well, you know, Baptists got it. I mean, they got it. They were on their way to making a bride. You know, I mean, they just swished right past me, you know. And then they just, you know, something just happens to make them, I don't know, if they fizzle out or if the Lord just snatched the blindness across them and shut their eyelids and come blind or snatched the truth out of their brains where they leave only a lie. I don't know, but you know, I do know that I serve a risen Savior, and he has not left me behind. He continues day by day to enlighten me, to allow me to grow, to become what he'll have me to be. I just want to thank the Lord. I want to lift him up and give him praise because he's so good to me.
I just feel so blessed to be in church tonight. I'm looking forward to it all day. And my brother and sister-in-law was coming in, so I was just so excited that he was going to be in church with us tonight. And I'm really thankful to have him. I'm really thankful they're a part of my family. Sister Smith knows our family probably better than anybody else here. I feel very blessed. Most of my immediate family are good, God-fearing people, and go to church. We got some outlaws out there too, but for the most part, my close immediate family, most all my family are in church and are good, faithful servants in their own churches. And they attend a little country church there in Oklahoma, a little Church of God, and been faithful there for many, many years. And I don't know what the church would do without them, actually. And I feel so blessed that I have this church. I have my family that I can go and have a good time with, and don't have to worry about, you know, having to listen to a bunch of cussing or drinking and stuff like that going on. And I just feel very blessed today and thankful for all that the Lord's done. That song Cindy started with, I want to worship the Lord with all my heart, and at the end of it, I think it said praise him and everything. Here lately, it's been kind of hard to praise him when Doug went through what he went through, but I know God was in it, and through it, and he's good, and he remains faithful to us if we remain faithful to him.
It is good to be here on a midweek service with all my brothers and sisters in the Lord, some of them. We are glad to have our visitors, Leslie and Linda Spencer from Oklahoma. We're sure the Sister Yvonne's brother and sister-in-law. Good job, man. Travel and I go back with them too. Used to from time to time I get to run around with his boys and getting all kinds of shenanigans with them. But they were, they always had good, clean fun together. We've got a lot of folks without the flu tonight. Been paying her family, and I'm not sure if Dad's coming down with the flu, Mom, or...
I think he might have the flu, and Nana's
not feeling well. Yeah. So, and there's other people out here. Sister Bryant said she was coming down with something, and I guess Sister Lynette's still under the weather. Yeah, so... Sister Sandra. Okay. And the Wallaces called and said her daughter was in the hospital, maybe with possibly the flu or something, but said she's in the hospital and asked prayer for him. Brother Daniels.
Thank you.
Alive and in the flesh, and hopefully we'll get him in the spirit tonight. He won't be. Sister. She got in the middle of a dog fight, I think. And it was rough. That was bad, wasn't it? The corn didn't fall far from the husk. Brother Brandon. Pray for the Goldens. Did somebody else, Sister Linda, was that you that had your hand up? Sister Rice probably still isn't feeling too well.
I talked to Sister Rice, and she just weak, and she's afraid to come out.
Okay. Yes. He had a blockage in his legs or in his... Wow. Oh, wow. Continue to pray for them. Sister Ruth. Sister Ruth needs a job. So keep your ears open. We hear about a job for Sister Ruth. We'll pray for those needs here in a minute if we can remember them. I just wanted to say a few words that it is, we do have a great God to pray for, praise and pray to, and he is he didn't have to choose me. And he did. He called me. And I answered a call. He chose me. And many people reject the call, the reason is they don't see the reward. I didn't fully see the reward. A lot of people it gets presented to them that the reward is a mystical place of gates of pearls and streets laid with gold and a mansion. But if they could get the understanding, it's not so much the eternal life. And eternal life, you know, I'm not diminishing eternal life, don't get me wrong. But the life we have here, my life can be turned around here. Your life, the life of God directing your paths and taking you through this world that is in its fallen condition, and give you joy and peace right here. There's a benefit that I can hold on to. And that's why it's real hard to sell life insurance. You know, life insurance salesmen, they make good money when they sell a bunch of it, but a lot of people don't understand that one day they are going to pass on. And so they say, oh, I'm just going to keep going the way I'm going. Everything's going to be right. And maybe one of these days when I get old, I'll get, you know, I might need life insurance, but I don't need it right now. Well, I do want to live forever in eternity, and I think that's important. You know, spreading the news of the gospel, and people get their souls right with God, because they could pass on tomorrow. God could come for them, and they need to have their heart turned toward God and repentance. But I want a life. I want to tell them about the life you can have in God today. Hallelujah. And he's worthy of being praised. And in Philippians, first chapter in the ninth verse, he says, "As I pray that your love may abound yet more in more knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent and that are you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." I want to be filled with them fruits. Joy, love, peace, long-suffering, charity. Somebody help me out. Gentleness, meekness, loving-kindness. Temperance. I did say that. There against there's no such law. And when you have, you know, when you have that in your life working, there's nothing like living for God and work and having him doing this. That's what he says. He says in the 11th verse, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Hallelujah. And you know, this world is just full of sadness and people trying to find that place in their heart and their soul that cannot be satisfied. Everything in the world is being exhausted to satisfy that part in them. Everything, you know, people change their identity, the way they look. You know, that's why they have all these fads from tattoos and earrings to goth look of, you know, everything black and eyeliner and, you know, even the men doing that. They're trying to find some way of finding an identity. Well, when you come to Christ, he shows you your purpose in him, to be a child of God, I want to be that light. I want to say, go up to the person that's trying everything in the world and saying, look, I've got something you need. I've got it. I've got it. It's right here. It's Christ. I'm happy. I'm truly happy, and I'm blessed. Yeah. And I've found love, and my family is serving God, and my wife loves me, and my children love me, and they love each other, and we're highly blessed and favored of God because we're living within His. He's putting the fruits of righteousness down in our life. We even have. Now it's getting to the place people are seeking an alternate reality. Years and years ago, mom's mom, grandmother, she's passed away, been passed away for many, what about 20 years now? Has she been gone? Okay, so about 16 years, 17 years she's been gone. And, you know, they didn't have all these alternate reality games and all these reality TV shows that you could get absorbed in. But she had a police scanner that she sat every day, all day long, listening to this police scanner. She didn't have a life. She never left their house. Maybe to go get food, and that's it. She never left her home. And she would absorb herself in other people's reality. It wasn't hers. All she had to do is get out and go not talk to a neighbor. She just wouldn't do that. And and now they've made it simpler for us. Our soul, I believe, was... with the television, where it can really grab you and suck you into a fantasy world of reality TV. You can live. You can just sit there and think, "Well, I wish they'd have done this or they'd have done that." And started off, it wasn't good enough with soap operas. You know, I've heard my mom tell about knowing somebody to be in a bad mood. Why? Well, what's the matter? Well, so-and-so cheated on her husband, and he was a good guy. And what are you talking about? Some soap opera. <You know>? Why are you some? It's not real. Then it, you know, kind of evolved into that. Into you got 100 and some odd channels or anything on. And then... they've come up with this online gaming, which is even further delves into a false reality. That you can be some kind of captain or a president over some country or a wizard in some land far away. And there's people, I've heard of people spending up to 18 hours a day on the computer in some alternate reality, that virtual reality, that it doesn't even exist. I had somebody tell me today that she knew a lady who called her, wanted to talk to her husband. He said, "Hold on a second, you're going to get us all killed." She says, "Yeah, but I want to talk to you." And he comes stomping in there and said, "I hope you're happy, we're all dead now." Of some fantasy world that he's playing on TV. You know, she just wanted to talk to him. It sounds silly, but I'm telling you, there's people losing their souls over this. They're losing their humanity. You can sit down and watch a movie today and watch 100 people get wiped out, not bat an eye, but the little dog gets killed at the end. And everybody's boo-hooing. What's wrong with this picture? We're desensitized to death. But we got to escape because my problems are big. The daily grind is getting to me, and I'm a nobody here in this reality. So I can escape to somewhere else, and I can be somebody. I can be a general over an army. I can be a fictitious place on another planet somewhere. And I can just keep be plugged into the matrix, somebody said. Well, there is hope. I hate it that it infiltrates the church. It's infiltrated in my life. I've caught myself. Why am I so preoccupied with this show or with this? We got on Facebook, and at first when I was on there, I was trying to find all these people I didn't know, and I was on there a lot for a while. And then I said, you realize, you know, I can just check in every couple of days and contact somebody I want to send a message to or something like that. But I was on there, I got to looking around, and there's these reality games on there. You can be a mob boss in the mafia. Put hits out on people. You can have a fake farm and send and raise fake animals and fake food. Fake neighbors, Yeovil or something like that. I hadn't checked into that one. I've even got fake gifts. It says, you got a birthday gift from somebody. Oh, great, what did I get? Well, you got, you know, he bought you a something. But it's not real, it's a fake gift. Someone said, and I had people defend this to me. They said, well, it's the thought that counts. It's the thought that counts. I get you these gifts. And I thought, well, you know what? If you just type me a message saying happy birthday, it does just as good. Yvonne, you sent me a fake gift, didn't you? That's okay. I'm not pointing out anything specific. I'm just showing the whole generality of it. Because I didn't see it before just really the other day. It just kind of hit me. And I thought, you know what? There's a world out here that needs to hear about Jesus. There's people in the church that need me for something. I just need me to call them or go by and see them or have them over for supper. But no, I'm stuck in this front of the idiot box. We got many idiots. We got computers. We call them idiot boxes too. Well, yeah, and we can't preach against computers. We got to have them. I have to have them in my business. Everything runs on email. I send proposals out constantly. Brother, I know some of these salesmen up here have to check their sales reports. They have to send emails to their bosses. Everybody has them on their phone. I think Brother Smith was talking to me one time about now relationships are, they're almost doomed before the start because people are dating vicariously, talking to each other through text all day long, and on chatting online. They don't ever really get to know each other. They're doomed before they started. They have no idea what each other are like. But they're getting together in another alternate reality. But guess what? There is pain and suffering on earth. We need to experience. That's one of the things Leonardo da Vinci, one of the greatest minds, on this earth ever walked this world, a genius. When he would go through pain, whether it be heartache or physical pain, he would study it, what he was going through, the experience of having it, and what he's going through, and say, I'm experiencing something here. It's painful, but it's real. And I'm just going to go ahead and experience it. I remember the last kidney stone I had. I kept wanting that experience to be over. And if there was a drug I could have took, I would have took it to make it go away, but I couldn't. But I went through an experience, and when it was over, I thought, man, I made it through it. I made it through it. I didn't have to be knocked out. Somehow I got through this. The time before, I was off in a fantasy world. They gave me something, sent me to La La Land. But this time I experienced it, and I thought, I made it through. I made it through this. It's over. And part of life is hardships and pain. But on the flip side of it, there's a lot of joy and a lot of happiness too. And it all is where have you got your focus and your shift and your faith? Is if it's in this world, if it's in their neighbors, if it's in family, if it's in government, if it's in sports, it's in the wrong thing that'll bring mostly heartache. If you can have your faith in Jesus Christ, then you can have something. Then you can look back and you can tell your friends and loved ones that I've got something that I've fully been satisfied. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came back to God, Sister Elsie? Aren't you been happy since you got back to the Lord? There's some people that's left God. There's some people that stayed with God all along. They say, I wouldn't trade what I have for this world. Hallelujah. So we have so much to praise Him for. We can let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We've got a mighty God that we can take these needs to that were spoken of tonight. We want to also take up our missionary offering here tonight. So if the ushers would come forth, let's go ahead and take up the offering, receive it. And was there any that we missed? Prayer request that we got. Yes.
Let's pray for our son Joe.
Okay. He's our high priest tonight. We can talk to him. We can petition him. Dear Lord. Let's all stand, bring these needs before the Lord tonight. Petition him for his help. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all your goodness and your mercy. Hallelujah. And this wonderful life that you've put us here on this earth to live. Hallelujah. To share with all of our friends and neighbors your wonderful benefits, hallelujah, of serving you. Oh God, we have many out tonight that are sick, Lord. Well, you know who they are. We call their names here tonight, Lord. And each name that we call tonight that's sick, oh Lord, we ask you, Lord, to send a healing touch down to them. Let them feel your touch, Lord, and touch their bodies, Lord. They may get over this sickness. Oh God, each and every other need here that's spoken or unspoken, every name that was called, Lord, we lift them up to you and ask you to fulfill your will in them, Lord, and deal with the ones that are lost, the ones that have need, Lord. We know that you are a provider, Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. We love you and praise you. Hallelujah. We need you tonight, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful. Mighty God, hallelujah. In the name of your dear son, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the ones that give here tonight to our mission field afar off, hallelujah. Let them know that you can use us and bless us as we give, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God.
Michael talking about the different things that people get into, and it reminded me of a song, and I know if you're around my age, you've heard this. It was written by the Beatles, and it goes like this. He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans to nobody. So it kind of reminds me of, you know, this alternate world that, you know, Jesus came that we might have hope, didn't he? Came that he might reconcile us back to God. And then I come across this scripture. And I left my glasses back here. So, but anyway, it's in 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. And that's where, I guess, that book, In His Steps, that got the title from, probably there. That was the idea from that. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Well, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And Brother Mike was mentioning some of the fruits of the Spirit. And, you know, I thought, what did I do when I was backing in a parking space and someone seen me backing there, but they pulled in there anyway? Did I revile again? Did I threaten with my horn? Did you know Jesus, he didn't just come on this earth for us to just admire what he accomplished. It's, oh, what great things you've done. Which he did. He did great things, didn't he? But he said, leaving us an example that we should walk in his steps. And I thought, God, help me. Help me to obtain those fruits of the Spirit. I believe in God. I believe God can reach way down, touch our hearts and minds, that we can accomplish those things, to walk in his steps. And it might take a lifetime. It may take it. But I believe if we have faith in him, that he'll, what is that, how does that go? Accomplish what he hath begun in us. Yeah. I appreciate God, and I appreciate everything that's been done to help us all, to further us all along, to walk in his steps. It took every bit of it, didn't it? To this point, it took the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. It took everything before you even came to this church. Whatever your walk with God was, it took that. But then it takes going on, doesn't it? Amen. It takes going on. So If I can say anything, I'll say, let's go on.
Yes.
Thank God.
Just sitting here, I have a lot of thoughts running through my head. I don't know if I can get them all together to make any sense or not, but I was just thinking how thankful I am for the services we've been having and for the Sunday night service that we had where the Lord spoke to us. And I just feel like He really spoke to me in a special way of how we were, when we were getting ready to move here, just how impossible that felt. And just even before that, how I felt like I had gone to the edge of a cliff, and I knew I needed to go somewhere, and I felt like I was going to go over and down, and, you know, but when I took that step of faith, God was there to catch me, and He helped me to soar into a place that I've not been, and to go up even higher, and I definitely don't ever want to take that for granted. I mean, I've heard people say, you know, God works in the impossible, and for us to get here the way we did to buy a home and before we moved to buy two vehicles, and just the way He has provided for us, and it was just, you know, a blessing, and that something else I don't want to take lightly, and just how God, again, worked in the impossible to work things out for us, and I just so appreciate Him just being here, and when things still come my way and seem impossible, I know I can look back on what He's already done and think, you know, why am I fretting over this? Why am I even worrying? I know that He has everything in control, and when it's the right time, things are all going to work out, you know. I still think about our house. It's still not sold. It's all going to work out when it's supposed to, you know, and it just when it's supposed to. And I know that God, I'm His child. We are all His children, and He knows what we need, and He cares for us. And I think of how much I love my children and how much I want them to have in life and good things. And I think how much more God loves each and every one of us and wants us to give us these things. And I thought how, you know, I just want to keep living my life for Him and give Him the praise and honor that is due to Him. And He's just done so much for me. And I've been thinking about of what Brother Smith and different ones have been saying about being a light. And that's what I've been thinking about while working at this job. There are so many different people there. And it's been a long time since I've worked around different people. Besides church people, you know, I worked for Brother Sister Smith. We were all together, and, you know, we talk about the services and everything. And then when you're just around a secular group of people, you just hear all kinds of stuff. and I thought, you know, who's here, Lord, that you would be talking to, you know? And because I am such an introvert person, it's hard for me to say, hey, come to church with me. It's just not me, you know, and I just want to hide and do my little job and go home. But there was a girl there, and she just wouldn't even give me the time of day or hardly speak to me, or if she was, it was real short. And she had a miscarriage, and she was really upset and everything, but she was still trying to do her job. And I noticed she was talking to these men. They come in, and they have a Bible study group there at the restaurant. A lot of different people come in and do that.
And but I looked over there, and she was crying. I had her head down, and I was listening, and he was saying the sinner's prayer with her. And she was accepting Christ right there in the restaurant. And I thought, that is so awesome. I get to experience seeing her accept the Lord and how wonderful that was. And I went over, and I just put my arm around her, and I told her how happy I was for her and everything. And today I was talking to her, and I invited her to church. And so, and I invited her to the singing. She said that she had to work on weekends. I'm like, she's like, but I could, you know, I can come to church on Wednesdays. I said, okay, all right. So, and I didn't even think just to write it down. I thought, well, I'll just take her card and give it to her. But I thought, you know, she was hungry. She, you know, was wanting, she was telling me, I can come to church, you know, and the one person that I did not think that would accept that. And so just pray for her. Her name is Trish, but that's what I want to do. I want to be able to find those that are hungry and searching for something different. And I don't want to just blend in with the rest of them. I want them to know that this is how I live every day. Every day I want to live for God and make a difference and show people that there is, like Brother Michael was saying, there is a hope. There is, you know, God can bring you out and you can find yourself in Him, and what joy and what peace. And, you know, I was thinking of, as a teenager, you got to find yourself. And then as a young adult, you have to find yourself. And then as an older adult, you got to find yourself. And there's just all these different stages. But God is there with you every step of the way. And if you feel like you don't feel Him, turn around. He's standing right there all the time. You're just going the wrong direction. Just turn around. He's right there. And He'll always walk with you. And I just appreciate that I know who my Savior is and how much He loves me. And I know there are times, you know, you can get too clouded in your mind with everyday things, but I don't ever want to forget how much the Lord loves me.
What do y'all think? I don't think that's good enough. But I wanted to get up last Wednesday night and didn't. But I wanted to say how thankful, you know, you're having a bad week and then you come walking in the house of God and you just see something happens. And that something that happened last Wednesday night happened again tonight. And that was seeing Brother Johnson here with us tonight. I mean, I tell you what. You know, I only did that because I wanted to see him blush. And it worked. Yeah, Sister Weininger said she waved at you and you didn't wave back. What do you think about it? There you go. But, you know, and little things like that, you know, that I guess some might take for granted, but they do something for me. They really do. And then something else that, I mean, little, you know, some people get big revelations and big things, and it's little things that talk to me. I guess small things talk to small minds. But I was watching tonight when we came in here, and you know, there wasn't that many people here. A lot of people out with the flu, and I saw Sister Cindy get on the piano and start pulling, and I was thinking, well, I'm glad that wasn't me. I don't know that I'd had the strength to make that pull, but then I started watching, and I was like, man, she's really working. She's really working. And then I started, that's just something else to be thankful for, that we've got people that will jump in there and, you know, kind of just and put their, even if you can't, sometimes it seems like if you can't get the wagon rolling, at least you can stop it from rolling back down the hill. You stick your foot underneath the wheel and throw a rock under it and keep it, and that's somebody else, until you can get somebody else to push. And I'm just thankful. I'm really thankful to be here tonight. it seems like, you know, this week's been a one of those weeks. I get all the way up, you know about the fender bender I had, so my trunk, my hood is wedged shut. So I get all the way to Mountain View yesterday, up in the middle of nowhere, pull off the side of the road to get something to eat, get back in the car, car won't start. Battery's deader than a hammer. So here I am in Mountain View, Arkansas, with a hood I can't get up to jump off my car. And I'm thinking, well, I find there's a Crow Berlin game, auto parts store. So I walk down there. I'm praying, Lord, let this car start. Because, I mean, the towing bill from Mountain View to Little Rock is going to be huge. But the Lord doesn't start my car. So I go over to Crow Berlin game, and I borrow a crowbar and a long screwdriver. I'm like, well, you know you're in Arkansas when you're opening up the trunk, the hood of your car with a crowbar. I was like, man, you must be a redneck. And I'm thinking, Lord, if I get this open, I'm not going to get it back shut. Or if I do get it shut, what's the chances of me, getting it started and driving back to Little Rock and having that thing blow up in my windshield? And, I'm thinking how all the doubt. What was that? Oh, anyway, I heard Rachel say something. It sounded funny, but I wedge it and get it open, and I can't start that car for nothing. I've got, and these guys are stopping to help me, and they're no help. They've got me thinking it's my alternator. They've got me thinking it's my starter. It's this and that and so on, and I have to go walk. Then I can take the tools back to Crow Berlin game, and like three people try to jump me off. Nobody can jump me off, and I'm like, what am I gonna do? So the last resort, I looked at my battery terminals. And I said, Lord, you got to show me what's wrong with this car. And I looked at those battery terminals. They're as clean can be. Usually you see a bunch of corrosion on a battery terminal. That's where your problem is. But go buy a can of Coke and pour Coke on your battery terminals. I don't know if you know that, but it cleans your battery terminals. Yeah, Sister Ann said that's why she's so clean. She drinks lots of Coke. That must mean you got a lot of corrosion to start with. So I go over to an alternator shop, and they're not wanting to be, the people don't want to loan out their tools. And I don't know what size tool I need to get those battery terminals off anyway. So I figured I talk them into giving me some wrenches, and I take them back out there, and we jump it off, and it starts. But all my gauges are going crazy.